Happy Monday morning, Bucks fans. This is Monday Morning Joe, the podcast by me, Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Welcome on in. We're just 20 days from the regular season. 20 days. I can't believe it. You know, fans, we fight and struggle to get through to the regular, to training camp, and then to get to the regular season. And man, we're almost here. All those Sundays of ecstasy of Bucks football and NFL football. It's finally around the corner, legitimately around the corner, which is darn freaking great. Our podcast is presented by Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com, and Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, lakelandautomall.com. First, let me say, if your garage door is messed up, right, you got to get it fixed, or you need a new garage door. That's where Discount Garage Doors comes in. This is a family-owned and operated company since 2000, a local company, state-licensed. They cover tremendous amount of Florida counties, and you're going to get 10% off with your Joe Bucks Fan code. But more important, what separates Discount Garage Doors is a free service call. A lot of companies charge for that. Most of them do, in fact. So you're going to get a free estimate and a diagnosis, and they can do it in the same day. They're open 7 days a week. And on top of that, they'll beat any comparable estimate. Discount Garage Doors, serving the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. 1-800-866-420-DOOR. 1-800-866-420-DOOR. Remember, they're open 7 days a week. So if you got time on Saturday, make the call today and schedule something up. A tremendous service, and you definitely want to get it done. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. You've seen their billboards all over town as well. Make the connection. Use your Joe Bucks Fan code. And Stick Carriers, when you go shopping at lakelandautomall.com, you're already getting their lowest internet price. That's their price. Their lowest price is already on the internet at lakelandautomall.com. So when you find something you like, what you want to do is contact Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Auto Mall and tell him you're a Stick Carrier, and you're going to get an additional $500 off that internet price. Tremendous deal. They're big Bucks fans at Lakeland Auto Mall. But you know what? If you don't see anything you like on the internet, remember, save $25, $50, or even $100 off your current payment during the Lakeland Auto Mall Ford Hyundai Summer Clearance Event. Plus, every new vehicle purchased is backed by their famous exclusive nationwide lifetime warranty. Lifetime warranty. And every purchase comes with 1 year free maintenance. Shop online, lakelandautomall.com. Remember, tell Sean Sullivan you're a Stick Carrier, $500 off their lowest price, which is already on the internet. And stop by our new showroom on West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, I-4, exit 28, just minutes from Tampa, Brandon, anywhere in Central Florida. Lakeland Auto Mall, they're exceeding customer expectations every day. And for those of you who follow us on Twitter, at Joe Bucks Fan, I put up last night a picture of the awesome Mustang Roush that Lakeland Auto Mall let me use to go to training camp, to go to the training camp takeover, and to use for a handful of days. A lot of fun. Mustang Roush, if you're looking for a sports car. Man, I miss that power. It is not easy going back to my Ford Fusion after driving that piece of artwork, and it really generates quite a lot of attention as well. Not that I need it from the ladies as a married guy, but it was kind of fun. All right, lots on the docket today. A lot been going on JoeBucksFan.com. I have a lot to get to. One, I was in Jacksonville last week, so I've got some impressions from there. And we're two games into training camp now, halfway through. A lot of stuff you read on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm going to go a little deeper on some of those. And we've got some cool stuff coming up, too. So I want to tell you about that.
Monday Morning Joe.
Let me start with Jameis and the quarterback play. Oh, Mr. Winston. Wow. He was fantastic. He was fantastic, except for one play. And we've harped on it on JoeBucksFan.com. And I've seen in the comments people saying, it's just one play, Joe. It wasn't even a real play. It wasn't even a real interception. It's not the freaking point. It's just not the point. Of course, we're talking about Jameis third and goal early in the game. Obviously, he was only playing early in the game. And he's tackled. He's down. He's about to fall on his back. His forward progress is stopped. And he heaves up from about 13 yards out. Heaves up a lollipop into the end zone on third down. Take the 3 points. The 3 points are there. But no, Jameis flips it up. Dante Fowler picks it off right between Mike Evans and Cameron Brate, who clearly didn't think Jameis was going to throw the football, which nobody did. And of course, it was a pick, but it was overturned because they said he was down, which he wasn't really. Regardless, it was very, very close. And he was only down by the rule of the forward progress. So be it. But the reason it's a big deal is this. It goes to the boneheadedness of the play, if that is such a word. And think back to Hard Knocks. On Hard Knocks, whoever watched Hard Knocks last week saw that Jameis was absolutely skewered by Dirk Koetter for a pass in practice where Jameis went back to pass. There was nothing there. He had pressure and he threw a real lollipop throw, just a looping lollipop to the left side into double coverage. It was short as well, an easy pick, and Coach Koetter freaked out. Might have been the initial Hard Knocks show. It doesn't really matter. But I remember seeing that live. I was there on the sidelines, very close to that play where it was going off, and it was a head-scratcher live. It was even worse live because plays in training camp, they die out. You know, there's sort of like an internal clock the quarterbacks are supposed to have where they don't get hit. There's no tackling in the Bucs training camp. But when they're live play, when their pads are on and they're going, the quarterbacks are supposed to really not go more than 5 seconds. And then sometimes the coaches whistle a play dead when it gets unrealistic, or the quarterbacks just take off or they throw it away. But Jameis, he was playing that play out and it was just a really dumb play. And Koetter was all over him, if you remember from Hard Knocks. Now, one of the neat things in that Hard Knocks episode was that Koetter said something like, that was into double coverage, and we're not doing that. We're not throwing into double coverage. It was almost a hint that that's one of the edicts this year, as if to say to Jameis, hey, you've got so many weapons that you're not throwing into double coverage, period. That's the rule. Now, fast forward to the game on Thursday night at Jacksonville. The play that Jameis made there, it just can't be made. And it's not about Jameis screwing up once. It's about how bad the mistake was. John Gruden even said on the broadcast, you can't make that play on any level of football. And as somebody myself who was around high school football for many, many years, you don't see that at the high school level. You just don't. But it's in Jameis's DNA to make a play like that. And I think the challenge in the Bucs organization is, how do you coach that out of Jameis? How do you do it? How do you flick that switch in his head to let a play die, to take a sack? Jameis talked about this early this offseason, about how one of his goals was to take sacks. But how do you practice that? I guess you can, but it's very hard when you don't tackle in practice. Because you can't, that moment where Jameis has got Jaguars on him and he's going down, that moment is never recreated in practice. So these decisions that we want to work on with Jameis, these boneheaded extending plays too long decisions, are simply decisions that cannot be practiced. And it's a problem. And it really lets you believe, anyway, leads you to believe that it's going to continue. It's just a question of how much damage can it do? Maybe the Bucs lose that game the other night, the ones versus the ones. I'm not talking about the overall game, but maybe they lose that if Jameis throws that pick. And take a few points off the board, momentum changes. It's a problem with Jameis, and it's bigger than one play. And yes, he played great otherwise. And you know what? Nationally, across the nation, the experts who are just watching the stats, they're not going to see that play because it didn't happen. According to them, it never showed up in the box score. It didn't affect Jameis's completion percentage. It didn't give him a pick. But we know better. We know better, and it is a problem. And yes, we're nitpicking, but you know what? We expect Jameis to become elite. And as Dirk Koetter said, elite quarterbacks don't throw that pass. They don't throw it up. So we can't expect and think it's okay for Jameis to do that. That said, again, he looks good this preseason. The completion percentage is up. I'm not going to go crazy about that. Yes, it's at 70% or so, but he's only played a little less than one game. However, it's excellent. And all those passes he threw against Jacksonville, a lot of passes. What, I think it was 29 attempts, something like that, 21 to 29. That's a lot of attempts. Is that the Buccaneers' offense this season? I don't know. That's another story. As for Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's call it what it is. I've never seen Mike Glennon have a training camp and a preseason this ugly. Fitzpatrick is not a good quarterback right now. He's making the same kinds of dumb decisions without the upside of Jameis. And he's supposed to know better. Now, I don't know what the deal is with Fitzpatrick. It is preseason. Maybe he knows how to flick a switch. I can't say that I've studied his other preseasons, but he's had to fight for jobs before. Maybe he got a little complacent against the Jaguars because Ryan Griffin is out hurt. I don't know, but I'm not going to dwell too much on the backup quarterback, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, it is ugly, and that's what it is. I'm sorry, Fitzpatrick fans. It is ugly stuff. Jameis, got to give him a thumbs up, and we'll see where it evolves. I mean, he's got to shake this. Hopefully, somehow he can find a way, because you know what? I don't think the Bucs are capable of coaching it out of him.
Monday Morning Joe.
Running backs, it is getting interesting on the running back front. I know there's a lot of Doug Martin fans out there, and Martin has looked strong. He's looked strong. He ran well in the last preseason game. He did have a drop. Dropped a pass right in his hands, but otherwise he had a strong game. Looked like a number one running back. Still hasn't broken one. Still hasn't shown an explosive play in his body, but limited sample size, and he looked pretty good. Now, fast forward to Saturday, and then, of course, I'm talking about Martin's performance against the Jaguars Thursday night. Fast forward to Saturday, Dirk Koetter, after practice, is asked about the running backs, and he says Charles Sims, without being asked directly about Sims, has been outstanding, that he's had an outstanding training camp. And, of course, Sims has showed up running between the tackles, shockingly. 5 carries the other night for 29 yards, I believe. Yeah, 5 for 29. And he's looked a little quicker, a little bit bigger in training camp. He's not hurt, healthy, hasn't even been dinged up. Koetter volunteers that he's been outstanding. I haven't heard Koetter use the adjective outstanding in a long, long time. And right after that, he mentioned Martin was very, you know, having a strong camp. I'm not taking anything away from Martin here. However, you got Peyton Barber running very well. I talked to somebody inside the organization before Koetter spoke at his news conference praising Peyton Barber on Friday, because I had a feeling that the Bucs were very, very high on what Barber did in the second half, and they were. He was very patient, very mature. You know, sometimes guys are successful in the preseason running the football, but they don't look like number one backs. And maybe that's a tough concept, but you have to carry yourself and run like a number one back. It's not just about, hey, he hit a hole and he racked up some good numbers. Barber did a lot of things with his moves, with his patience, with his pass protection, with his vision, his decision-making. He looked like a number one back. He ran very strong as well, very confident. So a lot of optimism about Peyton Barber. And you know what? Dirk Koetter, keep in mind, guys, Dirk Koetter is a guy who has said repeatedly he really believes in letting your talent play, that you have to develop players. Not every coach feels that way. But that's one of the reasons that he has stuck with certain guys for a while, that he's got to let them play to see them and make a decision. And Barber did a heck of a job on Thursday night. I think he's right in that mix. Jaquizz Rodgers hasn't gotten a lot of touches, but again, this week, the Bucs were given an opportunity to say that Doug Martin is the number one back in week 4. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go there. And here's something very telling. And some of you might laugh at this, but this, you know, we live at JoeBucksFan.com. I live the Bucs 24/7. It's a passion, but it's also a job. And now it's a necessity because it's both. And John Gruden gets on the broadcast the other night, Thursday night football. And you have to remember, Gruden spent about an hour and a half with Dirk Koetter when he was here in early August. Gruden was in town for his Ring of Honor announcement. And Gruden was also at practice on Tuesday in Jacksonville. I talked to him there for a while. It was an off-the-record conversation. I really can't share what was going on there. I don't break that kind of stuff. But I will say that Gruden really, he believes in Mike Evans. And we saw the little Hard Knocks clip of him telling, I think it was Jason Light, of what a freak and what a great guy, a great player Mike Evans is. But Gruden really believes that wholeheartedly. And Mike Evans had a hell of a practice last Tuesday in Jacksonville. And Gruden was all over it, which was pretty cool. Was it Tuesday in Jacksonville? Wednesday? I don't know. The days all run together. Training camp is nuts. Yeah, it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday. So, but when Gruden gets on a broadcast and he's asked about Doug Martin, Gruden, when he's not on the air saying, you know, Dirk Koetter can't wait to get this guy back in week four and the Bucs are just buying their time, trying to fill the gaps with this and that. No, Gruden goes on the air and says, Doug Martin, what a big, tough decision the Bucs have. And he's got to get his head on straight. And maybe it is, but he's had three crappy years. And which Doug Martin is it? And are they going to pay him? And John Gruden doesn't do that. He doesn't do that typically. He's Mr. Pie in the Sky. He's Mr. Man, the Bucs can't wait to get this guy in week four. He's the engine of this team. No. So all that time that Gruden spent around the Bucs, he walks away talking about Doug Martin as if he's not going to be around. That's not a coincidence. That's not just Joe reading between the lines too much. So take that to heart. But that said, Doug Martin has looked good, and I think Doug Martin is helping his case. We've said before, 10% chance Martin is here in week four. I think Martin's probably upped that a little bit based on his play. Now, what's next? What's next is I asked Dirk Koetter on Saturday if it's time to change the approach with the running backs. Is it time now? Because in week three, the quote-unquote dress rehearsal, he'll be without Doug Martin. And Koetter said yes. Yeah, it is time to change the approach. And more work for Jaquizz Rodgers. He hasn't got a lot of touches, and we'll go from there. So going to be very interesting on Saturday against the Browns, week three, to see if the Bucs play Doug Martin at all. It could be an interesting decision there. I have a feeling he's not going to see the rock at all. I'll just make that prediction right here. I think you're going to see Jaquizz Rodgers to open it up. They'll work in a little Peyton Barber. Charles Sims will play his third down back role, and they'll take that into the second half, and maybe you get a little one or two carries by McNichols in the first half, but Dirk Koetter called McNichols tentative. Jeremy McNichols, the fifth-round pick rookie, said he was running tentative, but that would get fixed with touches, and McNichols probably gets almost the whole second half in this game to get those touches. But one big thing I'll say about the running backs is fumbles. We haven't seen fumbles. Unless I missed something, have not seen a fumble by a running back, and that's a big deal. I think a fumble, knowing what happened with Kenny Bell last year, one fumble and Dirk Koetter basically cut him. And Koetter, you know, he needs guys he can trust. That ball security issue is critical. I think a fumble by any of these running backs would have been almost, in many ways, it's just preseason, but in many ways, a death sentence for their role on opening day. You know, of course, multiple guys could fumble and that changes the game, but it is that critical, and nobody's fumbled. It's very good for Peyton Barber, all the guys, especially Doug Martin. If he coughed up the rock, man, that would not be good for him. But it's going to be a very interesting Saturday when it comes to the running back situation. And, of course, going forward, you know, we've talked about this many, many times, what the Bucs do when it comes time to make a decision on Doug Martin, which we're not going to see, I don't think, until the 11th hour, week four, when they've got to make a decision, make a call, negotiate with him. But so much can happen between now and then. It's basically an NFL eternity. And thankfully, we're not the ones making the decision, because that's not an easy call. Even for the people who think, Doug Martin, we got to keep him around because we have to keep him around. He's the best, most talented back. We don't know that. I don't buy into that, because after last year, I just can't call him the most talented guy after what he turned in with 144 carries last season.
Monday Morning Joe.
Couple of things I wanted to get to with Quan Alexander, who got banged up Sunday, and hopefully he's okay as I record this. But also on Hard Knocks, I think you're going to see plenty of Alexander on Tuesday based on a couple of teasers that I'll get to that we saw. But first, the podcast, I appreciate Lee DeCamper, JoeBucksFan.com. We appreciate all the listens to the whole podcast network on JoeBucksFan.com. It's really been extraordinary what we've been able to accomplish, and the response, the many thousands that have listened to this podcast. This is only the fourth one. More than 4,000 listens to last Monday's podcast, so thank you. It's available on Google Play. It's also on iTunes, so you just go to iTunes, search Bucks. You'll see the big Monday Morning Joe graphic. You can also search Buccaneers and subscribe. All subscription is, it's free. It means you're going to get the podcast to your phone when it downloads, or you can listen on Google Play. There's a subscription option there as well. We appreciate that. Ira Kaufman podcast, same thing. Bucks Uncensored, same thing. Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast, same thing. And we've got some more podcasts coming, which we're excited to announce probably by September 1st, which is pretty darn cool. And of course, always, as always, your support for JoeBucksFan.com is priceless. You've turned us into a revolutionary media outlet. There's nothing like this across the country, and people have tried. People have tried to duplicate it. Thankfully, they failed, and it's pretty darn cool. So thank you so much there. Two quick things. If you're going to the game in Miami, custodian of Canton, Mr. Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, the night before the game in Miami, in Miramar, Florida, at the Hampton Inn, there'll be a fanretreat.com party for Ira and for Bucks fans. Ira's going to do an insider Q&A. It's from 5:30 to 7:30. Free beer, free food. You can RSVP. You can just show up, whatever you want. All the details at fanretreat.com/Miami. If you're not going to Miami, opening day, Joe Bucks fan watch party combined with an official Stick Carriers event and the Bucks Uncensored podcast. It's going to be at Abe's Place in Clearwater. Abe's Place. All the details are on the watch party link on joebucksfan.com. But simple as that. 1 o'clock kickoff. You're going to want to get there at 11:30. We're going to start doing jersey giveaways by about 12:15. We're going to do all the giveaways before the game start, before 12:30. Want everybody there early. We've got jerseys, hats, all kinds of stuff. Abe's is a great place to watch the game. And the audio is good, and the Stick Carrier is going to be humping. And I'll be out there myself. So it's going to be a great, great fun day. We're going to recreate the stadium atmosphere right there at Abe's Place in Clearwater on Missouri. Abe'sPlaceBot.com, great menu. All right, Quan Alexander. Two things. You saw him at the end of the last Hard Knocks episode. You saw Dirk Cutter rip Quan for pulling a jersey for pass interference. And he says to Quan, "Don't give me that look. You just cost us the game." Now, to me, that sort of struck off an alarm bell in my head, because if you remember, in week one of Hard Knocks, there's the scene with Cutter talking to Jameis, and he explains to Jameis that, hey, you're the only one on the team who can lose a game for us. Nobody else touches the ball enough, Cutter says, quote, "Jameis, you can lose the game for us, and we need you to play like Aaron Rodgers, but no pressure, son." So that was kind of that scene. But then we fast forward to the end of week two of Hard Knocks, and you see Cutter tell Quan Alexander, "Don't give me that look. You just lost the game for us." And I thought that was interesting. That was sort of like a little, maybe Cutter uses that line when he has to tell a guy, "Hey, you can lose the game for us. It's not just Jameis," I thought. It sort of cheapened what he told Jameis. You know, we're nitpicking, we're dissecting, but that's what we do. And I thought that was very interesting. Now, they used that scene from Dirk Cutter as a preview for this week. And then now Hard Knocks has a brand new trailer out for week three. And you see Quan Alexander sitting in a hairdresser's chair, and this blonde is just finished with his do and asks him how he likes it, and he says he loves it, and it's his new red hair. And if you look closely on the door of the salon, it's not a barbershop or anything. It's like Hair Innovations or just some sort of salon in Tampa. It was kind of funny, but I think we're going to see more of of Quan Alexander this week, as they said coming on Hard Knocks. It wasn't like a maybe. It was coming on Hard Knocks will be some veterans and what they did on their day off. And you see Doug Martin skateboarding around his neighborhood, and you see Quan Alexander doing his thing in the hairdresser chair. I think you might get a little bit of Quan in this episode, which would be neat, especially since he got hurt on Sunday. And how that might tie in, I'm not sure, but he limped. If you look at Rock Riley's video on JoeBucksFan.com, multimedia guru Rock Riley, who also has an afternoon show 3 to 6 on 1040 a.m. in Tampa, 1080 a.m. in Orlando. Rock Riley does video for us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In today's video, you see Quan after he was hurt. And it's all there on video. Jason Light comes over and pats him on the back. And we'll see what Quan tweaked. But perhaps Hard Knocks ties into that, since you know, it was an actual happening, and it might be a way to wrap into that and find out a little bit more what went down. Speaking of injuries, Dirk Cutter, some really great comedy this past week. I forget if it was, I think it was Friday. I think it was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday at his day after game news conference. Dirk Cutter was asked about some injuries and he comes out and he says, he doesn't say damn it, but that was sort of the preface. Damn it. I'm not telling you about injuries anymore. You ask me too much about injuries. And frankly, I give you too much information. That's not helping my guys out. And the league says, I don't have to give you injury information until week one and the injury reports. And so it's not happening anymore. He tells this to the media at his news conference. So, okay. Ira Kaufman was there. I was home watching it on the live feed. You know, we always pretty much have somebody at $1 for everything. And Lee DeCamper, he's been in it, hasn't missed a training camp practice. I've missed a few doing some other stuff, whatever. Plenty of practices. Yeah, I'm going to get scolded. Oh, you missed a practice, Joe. Now, we always have somebody there for sure, if not both of us, which is most of the time. And Friday, Ira Kaufman was at the news conference in the afternoon. So after Cutter makes his proclamation about no more injury talk, about 4 minutes later, Ira asks him about Chris Baker and the competition with Clinton McDonald. And Dirk Cutter tries to throw a piece of baloney out there and basically says, well, it's a rotation no matter what. He basically says it doesn't matter who the starter is. And of course, any thinking football fan knows that's a pile of crap. It does matter who the starter is. The rotation doesn't necessarily pick up right away. And for a coach who preaches fast starts, we got to start better. For a team that's gone 1-3 to open each of the last three seasons, yeah, it matters who starts. You're damn right it does. But Cutter deflected that question, and immediately he goes to, well, Baker's been nursing some injuries. He's had some issues since the spring. Well, that really set me off here at home because, first of all, one, it was funny as hell because Cutter just said no injury talk, and now he's injecting injury talk, creating new injury talk surrounding Chris Baker, the defensive tackle from the Redskins who doesn't like to practice and who hasn't really shown up in preseason very well. Okay, so now we're supposed to know that he's banged up and he's nursing stuff, Cutter's word, and he's just not right. Well, then what the hell is he doing on the field? Tell me exactly how a 9-year veteran defensive tackle is going to get better, get healthy, be ready for opening day by playing in preseason games. I mean, it doesn't make a lick of sense. It almost sounds like Cutter is covering for Chris Baker. Because I don't get it. If he's banged up, why is he playing? He's not going to get better by playing. Now, if it's a chronic situation where he's got a chronic issue, insert a body part, well, then that's another story. And that could be a Jason Light issue where how did you sign this guy when he's got a chronic issue? Now, we had a tight end here with a chronic issue named Kellen Winslow that we actually traded for, but he didn't miss a game in three seasons with the Buccaneers. And frankly, two of those seasons, he really pretty much played his ass off. So, you know, it can be okay to have a chronic condition. However, I'm not sure what's going on here because Baker is not playing well. If you slow down the videotape and you look at Gerald McCoy's get off and compare that to Chris Baker's get off, it is so glaringly different. I don't even know what to say. It's comical and sad. Clinton McDonald is playing damn well. He's healthy. You know, I talked about Charles Sims before. Clinton McDonald, in some ways, is in the same boat. He's been hurt a lot the last couple of years. Of course, Sims was just fine in 2015 and was stellar. But Clinton McDonald's been injured the last couple of years, and now he's healthy. And he gained weight. He told me he put on some weight per Mike Smith's orders. Healthy weight, about 10 pounds. And he looks good. He's making plays with the first team. I think he's the starter right now. I don't think Dirk Cutter is going to mess around with anybody's ego and worry about any of that. I think Clinton McDonald is your starter on opening day. And rotation, whatever. You know, if these guys are healthy and they're going, they're going to keep going. And of course, they want a rotation. But most of the time, the goal there is more like 75-25 instead of 50-50. So kudos to Clinton McDonald for playing well. And we'll see if Chris Baker snaps out of it. And the Bucs need him to do well. And you want him to do well. I mean, look, they invested money in this guy. You want to see it work out. Staying on the defensive line a little bit. Noah Spence, it was kind of a bummer to see him not show up against Jacksonville. He just didn't show up. Did nothing. Didn't land on the stat sheet. Didn't play the run very well. They kept him in quite a bit in the second half to give him experience against the run. Didn't look good. And I've been saying for a long time that this guy has a long, long way to go. And that's okay, but the talk of him being a double-digit sack guy and all this stuff, I think it's outrageous. I really do. I got a chance to go one-on-one with Mike Smith in Jacksonville talking about Noah Spence. Maybe some of you saw the story on Joe Buck's Fan, but Mike Smith really explained that Noah is strong enough. He's strong enough with his hands to be successful playing the run. Now it's just a matter of learning how to do it. And Mike Smith says that takes reps. It's just reps. But there aren't a lot of reps for Noah Spence to get. The Bucs invested in Will Golston to play the run. The Bucs have Robert Ayers making about $8 million a year, and they expect a lot out of him. And he can play the run and the pass. So I don't really see where Noah Spence is going to get these reps, and his preseason reps don't look very good. So Noah Spence is going to take time. I even talked to Noah Spence in Jacksonville one-on-one about his situation, and he admits that he's got a long way to go against the run. Against the Bengals, he got a C grade by coaches. He said he missed two run assignments, and that's fine. I'm not going to beat up the guy for not being who he is, but I got into a discussion with I even forget who it is. You know, everything runs together, but was in a discussion with a media member about Joe Hawley. Now, if you remember, Dirk Cutter revealed on the Ira Kaufman podcast that Hawley played at about 270 last year. He lost a lot of weight and was ineffective getting pushed around. And, you know, of course, he wasn't 100% of a bust, but he didn't play well. And they let him test free agency. Nobody wanted him in the league. And think about it, with the lack of offensive linemen around the league, nobody even wanted to take a flyer on Joe Hawley, who's got at least has some good film out there and isn't that old. So the Bucs bring him back. And Cutter talks about how his weight was a problem on the line, in the trenches. Hawley's closer to 290 now, so he's fixed that issue. But Noah Spence is very undersized. So think about it. Dirk Cutter is saying that Joe Hawley's weight matters in the trenches, but we're to believe that Noah Spence's doesn't? That doesn't compute. Spence is one of the lightest defensive ends in the league, and it's a problem. I mean, Will Golston might have 50 pounds on Noah Spence. That's a huge difference. And Spence has to be, because of his size, and I talked about this with Mike Smith, because of his size, Spence has to be more perfect with his detail in the run game because he doesn't have the size to sort of overcome. And it's a process. So I think at this point, Noah Spence is a situational pass rusher. That's not going to change unless the Bucs have injuries, and that's okay. If he can get a sack every other game and at least be a little consistent with that rush and draw attention, then he's worth his weight in gold. But if he can't draw attention, if he can't draw some double teams and get the offense thinking about what's going on there with Spence and feeling he's dangerous, then it's not going to be effective. You might as well have somebody there who's more of a dual threat defensive end, because if Spence is a liability against the run, a true liability, they're going to start to run at him. They might run at him on 3rd and 6. And there's a lot of stuff there. So we're hoping, we're pulling for Noah Spence. We'll see. The rest of the defensive line, Gerald McCoy, not much really more you need to see from him at this point in preseason. I'm not saying he's dominating all pro every snap. But at this point in preseason, we've seen enough. But you know what? We're going to see more of everybody, all these starters, except for Brent Grimes on defense in Saturday's game, because that's what they do. They're going to play their half, come out in the second half, and then they'll go in bubble wrap until opening day. So that's the preseason for you, and that's just the way it is.
Monday Morning Joe.
Hey, remember, you can get the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and right here at JoeBucksFan.com every single Monday morning. We're going year-round. All of our podcasts on JoeBucksFan.com are year-round. Why? Because you're a Bucks fan year-round. You don't take time off. And the NFL has this wonderful schedule where there's always something happening, except for maybe a few weeks in the summer. Otherwise, it's always cooking. There's always something going on. The Bucks life never, ever dies, as I like to say. We're presented by Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai, as well as Discount Garage Doors. Save $25, $50, or even $100 off your current payment during the Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai Summer Clearance Event. Plus, every new vehicle purchased is backed by the Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai exclusive nationwide lifetime warranty. Every purchase comes with 1 year free maintenance. Shop online at lakelandautomall.com or stop by the showroom, the brand new showroom, West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, I-4, exit 28. Beautiful showroom. I've been there myself multiple times. Just minutes from Tampa, Brandon, and anywhere in Central Florida. It's really amazing how quickly you can get to Lakeland from Tampa. It's not a big deal. Even if you don't go I-4, you can go all the way up Hillsborough Avenue. It's even a nice drive that way. Lakeland Auto Mall, where they exceed customer expectations every day. Remember, get your internet price, and then call Sean Sullivan at Lakeland Auto Mall. Tell him you're a Bucks fan, a stick carrier, whatever. Tell him whatever you want. Tell him you're a stick carrier, Bucks fan, that you love the podcast. You're going to get an additional $500 off. And remember, Discount Garage Doors, that's where you start. If you got a broken garage door, you know you need a new one, it's not going up. Free service call, which means a free estimate and a diagnosis. Most competitors charge for that. Discount Garage Doors does not. They're open 7 days a week. Free service call, same day service, 1-800-866-420-DOOR, or go to dgdoors.com, serving the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. 10% off. Just mention Joe Bucks fan, 10% off. Just that simple. All right. This training camp, I got to mention Cameron Brate, because he has had such a strong camp and he's looked so good in these preseason games, and he's doing it quietly, but his hands are there. As we know, he's so sure-handed. It looks to me like his blocking is significantly better. I'm going to talk to the Buccaneers tight ends coach about that. I'm going to get some inside info on that. I was sort of waiting till the third preseason game, but I want to get their assessment as to how much better his blocking is. Because remember, he just wasn't much of a blocker. It doesn't mean he was awful, but Anthony Becht has said before, the Bucs' former tight end, he played a dozen years, maybe 14 years. I think it was a dozen years in the league with the Jets, Chiefs, Cardinals, Rams. He's been around the league, and of course he was with the Bucs, and he's on the Buccaneers radio network now. But he's talked about how it takes years to really develop as a competent blocker in the NFL. From most tight ends, it took him a couple of years to become what he thought. Beck believes he was one of the best blocking tight ends in the game, if not the best blocking tight end. That's one of the reasons that he lasted so long. Brate is getting better. He's definitely getting better. I don't think he's any bigger, but I think he's better at the blocking, and I want to find out. But he deserves all the kudos. I still believe he's the number one tight end for this team. That chemistry that he's had with Jameis since 2015, not 2016, since 2015, can't bottle that up. You can't just buy it. You can't just make it. It's special. There's trust. It's very similar to what Jameis has with Adam Humphries, except Brate is a better pass catcher, and he's more active, 8 touchdowns. But Brate has had a very special summer. It's been kind of quiet in some ways, but I think it deserves to be called out. Ali Marpet, the guy's made his center debut in Jacksonville with Calais Campbell and a very talented Jags defensive line breathing down his neck. Hats off to the guy. I don't think you can say enough about the way Marpet looked playing center. It was his first time for real. He didn't play against the Bengals. He had tweaked an ankle. He looked like the real deal. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. But what can you say about that? And what a tremendous testament it is to his work ethic, as well as the scouting of Jason Light and company George Warhop and the Bucks, who believe that Marpet could handle this right out of the gate. Now, it's just one half of one preseason game, but Marpet was damn good, and that just bodes extremely well. J.R. Sweezy on the O-line, man, he's not there yet, but you know what? It's easy to forget that when he was in Seattle on the Super Bowl team, on the Seahawks, that he played left guard. So he is new as a right guard, and that is an adjustment. Sweezy, I think he's still getting his legs under him a little bit as far as his leverage points and all that stuff, but he's been playing pretty well, and that's going to be a nasty pair running the football, Marpet and Sweezy, and they should only get better with time. But you know what? There's only one more game before opening day in Miami. One more game for these guys to really get a rhythm under game conditions. But I think it's going pretty well there so far. I'm very pleased. Sweezy's still healthy. Marpet can snap the ball, and he's moving guys off the ball, and he looks competent. Beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Last thing out of the preseason game, I wrote on JoeBucksFan.com that Hargraves took a step back And in many ways, that's nitpicking, because all we can do, all we can write about and report and deal with is what's in front of us. And frankly, Hargraves didn't look very good. He got nailed for a pass interference. He got beat deep by an undrafted rookie. He was part of another long ball situation where the pucks were beaten. His tackling wasn't necessarily there. Hargraves wasn't that great. And it's a step back for him because he had a great week one with an acrobatic interception. And for Hargraves, this all comes back to being the number 11 overall pick in the draft. When you're drafted that high, your team is expecting to get a number one caliber corner to begin with, a true number one corner, and they're also expecting a Pro Bowler. That's the number 11 overall pick in the draft, period. There's no other way to put it. That's the expectation level on Hargraves. Now, he's barely 22 years old. He played last year. I think he might not even be 22 yet. Maybe his birthday is soon, but he's 22 years old, and he's proven durable, which I like. He's got the speed. He seems to have the focus. He's changed his body a little bit. He's learning. But maybe this isn't the year that he makes that step to become a number one corner. But you know what? He doesn't have to be that guy yet, which I think is fantastic. And lastly, man, I was so jacked up to see DeSean Jackson run a reverse. The guy hadn't carried the ball in a game for the last two seasons. He used to run the ball, and very successfully, in his first 3 years in Philly. And then they dialed it back, and then when he got to Washington, he didn't really run the ball at all. But man, imagine being a defensive coordinator and seeing DeSean Jackson on the film against the Jaguars. He lines up wide. He goes inside as if he's moving to the slot. He turns as if he's going to run a route. And then all of a sudden he cuts back, grabs a handoff 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage, dekes a guy, he's 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and then runs for 15 yards. And he looks like he's running three gears faster than everybody else. It was a phenomenal message to the rest of the league. And props to Dirk Koetter. If Dirk's going to run Jackson 4 or 5 times a year, that's all you need to do is to throw that threat out there, in addition to the fact that it should be a good play. That's what Greg Olsen was always trying to do with the stupid bend around. But he had the wrong guy doing it, and he did it at all the wrong times, and it didn't work. And a lot of coaches say you have to run a reverse here and there to keep defenses honest. Well, it's a different level of honest, and it's a different level of fear when DeSean Jackson is the guy who might be running that for you. And that was one hell of a play. And I'm not worried about Jackson getting hurt, because you know what? If you run a reverse properly and it's executed reasonably well, the guy running it can always get out of bounds. And, you know, maybe he doesn't go for 12, he goes for 7 yards. It's a great weapon in the arsenal. Just one more weapon that, you know what, nobody really thought about or talked about. And there it is. Dirk Koetter lays it out for every defensive coordinator to see. It was beautiful stuff. And crap, the guy hadn't run the ball in 2 years. And there he is running the football. Just beautiful stuff. All right, exciting times to be a Bucks fan. And if you play fantasy football, we got a cool draft coming up. It's going to be Monday night. Next Monday at Hooters in Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue. Now, this is all part of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Todd is hosting the draft. He's hosted many of them. He does a great, great job, keeps everything organized, and it goes well. Ira Kaufman's going to be out there. Ira will be there, and we got some good prizes. It's free. There's no cost. All you got to do is email Todd that you want to participate in the draft next Monday night, Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa. At the Hooters, not too far from the stadium, a little bit west of the stadium. So all the info is at joebucksfan.com. We got limited seats left. We're trying to hit a certain number, and we're getting close. But now we got Ira in, and I know that's going to draw some people in. But if you want to play with Ira, talk to Ira, play fantasy football, get into a fun draft. It's going to start at 6:30 on that night. Definitely come on in. It's a Joe Bucks Fan League. Todd Wright running it. It's going to be good. We got prizes. It's free. You get to hang out with Ira Kaufman, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Pretty darn cool. Enjoy Hard Knocks tomorrow night. I'm enjoying it. We did a poll on Joe Bucks Fan. About 89% of the readers of Joe Bucks Fan said they've watched a full episode. So I thought that was a pretty high number. You know, most fans are really pumped up on this. And I think there are probably some people who are going to catch up and binge watch it after a couple episodes, maybe before tomorrow night. But should be fun. It's so great to learn about your team. Any shred of anything is just heaven for a hardcore fan to learn a little bit more of a nuance, which is what we try to give you at joebucksfan.com. Not just the news, But the news from everywhere with no ego. Hey, if somebody else writes it somewhere else, we're going to share it and give you some different perspective and different insights to what we see when we're out and about and doing our thing and covering the team and on the sidelines and talking to coaches and all that fun stuff. Thanks again, JoeBucksFan.com, Monday Morning Joe podcast. Catch Ira's podcast tomorrow and keep coming back. Lakeland Auto Mall, thank you. Discount Garage Doors, thank you. And we'll see you next time.